Cuckoo in the Night by Pamela Kent. Narrated by Kayreen McBrain for Saga. Chapter 1. Janine saw Stephen standing on the platform as soon as she stepped from the train. 2 years should have done something to alter him, to age him a little, but no, he seemed exactly the same, except that he was, perhaps, a trifle thinner and a bit grimmer. He had always had the ability to appear grim, even when he was feeling particularly happy, so that was nothing very much to go by. She must not allow herself to be affected by certain wistfulness at the corner of his lips, a blank, unseeing stare, as if he was deliberately forcing himself to contain his secrets and give away nothing by his expression. "Hello, Jan." He picked up her suitcase and seemed to be more concerned with the amount of luggage she had brought with her than the way she looked after 2 years. The possible deterioration in her looks, considering that she had once been badly jilted. "Is this all you've got? I imagine you'd be returning with bales of Swiss muslin and half a dozen cowbells to prove you've spent the last 6 months in the mountains." "I have got a trunk," Jan answered. "It's in the van. What do we do about it?" "Oh, don't worry, we'll collect it later." He led the way out of the station, busy St. David's Station, Exeter, where people were milling about because it was the height of the holiday season, and stowed her suitcase away in the boot of his car. If it was anything to go by, he had done very nicely for himself in the last 2 years, for it was a low-slung Jaguar and obviously new. Jan patted it with appreciation before she slipped into the seat beside the driving seat. "Hmm," she said. "Lucky Chris. It must be nice to have a husband who can keep her in style." Stephen said nothing, but he looked rather more than grim as he climbed into his own seat and they started off. Once clear of the town, Janine decided it was permissible to talk to him and perhaps distract his attention, and she began by making a confession. "I'm dying to see your new house. It sounds utterly fascinating. But I don't quite understand why you chose Dartmoor as a suitable place in which to live. Highly romantic, of course, and very beautiful. At least, I imagine it is, judging by the pictures I've seen of it. But isn't it a little cut off for you? I mean, you have to be in London most of the time, don't you? What happens to Chris while you're away?" "Oh, she's all right," he replied, as if he had worked out this reply to any possible questions she might put to him. "And I'm not in London as much as you apparently think. For one thing, I often travel down overnight in order that Chris shan't be too much alone." "Then you still keep on the London flat?" "Oh yes, of course." "Don't you find it a bit of a strain doing so much travelling?" "Not really. I'm getting used to it, for one thing." "But with your work on top of that?" "I manage," he answered, smiling briefly. "I hope the signs of strain don't show up too much." "Of course not. You look, as you always did, as hard as nails." She glanced at him sideways. And it was true that despite the well-worn cleft between his brows, the lines at the corners of his attractive mouth, and the little hollows in his cheeks, he did look remarkably fit and virile, as if he had a secret fund of strength that kept him going even in times of stress. And as he spent so much of his time in the public eye, it was important that he should create the illusion, at least, of having an alert mind supported by a well-trained and disciplined and naturally healthy body. Stephen had never been one for excesses, and in addition he believed in exercise. He and she had done a lot of walking together in the past, and, in fact, they had so much in common that it was a matter of astonishment that now they were virtually strangers who had to make the effort to get to know one another again. She was aware that he was not as detached as he seemed, perhaps not as indifferent. But he was handicapped by a guilty conscience, and she had all the cause for grievance. And there are a few men who like to be reminded that they have erred in the past.